Let's move on to that then, because Jude, I know you and Tim have just been to a conference or a meeting at the House of Lords, and I'm assuming the interest there from that perspective is what this looks like, this philosophy, when we're talking about consciousness, information, the origins of the universe, how it all evolves, when that kind of quite abstract stuff hits the practical aspects of the world we live
Absolutely.
in. And
Absolutely.
conflicts going on across the world, economic crises, perhaps environmental issues. And it's something we've been, Tim and I have been interested to explore with guests and between ourselves, as to what spirituality's role is in these kind of more worldly issues. And particularly after the year we've just had, where both in the US and the United Kingdom, there were these more divisive than ever. Certainly in my lifetime, political issues came up with the US presidential election, which really divided and polarized the country more, and here with Brexit and the recent general election. So one question we've been exploring, for example, is does spirituality point to taking particular positions within that we should be in and out of this union or have this guy or that guy for the leader, or does it describe structures or that we should try and live under? Or is it not to do with that at all? Is it more about facilitating the kind of environment in which that dialogue takes place? And obviously, you've thought about these things. What are your views on how your spirituality and your thoughts influence political action and dialogue?
Wow, big question and a crucial question. And that was certainly one of the things that we were exploring and taking forward from the House of Lords event. Just to give a bit of background on that, I held an event at the United Nations in May. And so my co-hosting the House of Lords event and inviting key influencers such as Tim to debate that, and key influencers across many, many different fields of endeavor and activism, was to basically explore this and how we can transform essentially a global emergency into the emergence of our conscious evolution. So to go back a stage from that last September, I spoke at a conference in Denmark. And there were folks there, again, key influencers, activists across a very broad range, wanting to practically implement the Sustainable Development Goals, which were signed off by the United Nations, I think 193 nations, putting them into their own political strategies, putting them into across corporations. And I sat quiet for the first day, which, as Tim knows, it's not usual for me. And I sat quietly for the first day. And at the end, I was asked my views by the organizers. And I said, well, I felt that it was wonderful work, but it was incomplete. And so they mulled on it overnight. And when I arrived the following morning, they said, would you, just stand up and explain what you mean for about 20 minutes? And I said, basically, the Sustainable Development Goals, in my perspective, are responses to the symptoms of our collective dis-ease. And those symptoms are our behaviors. And those behaviors are mainly driven from our beliefs about the nature of reality. If we think we're separate, if the other is completely separate, if we feel that, I can only win if you lose. There's many, many other things. But basically what I was saying is, yes, by all means, practically do everything with the Sustainable Development Goals. But ultimately, as a healer myself, I know that unless you cure the cause of the dis-ease, the symptoms will continue to find other ways of expressing themselves. So the essence of the event at the House of Lords and at the United Nations and elsewhere has been, we now have the opportunity, and this is why I wrote the book, to offer the evidence for the unified nature of reality such that we can begin to heal our fragmented perspectives and realize there are many, many pathways in spirituality, many different pathways, but ultimately all within the wholeness or the oneness, and valuing the uniqueness of the me and the diversity of the we. So that's really where my activism is playing. If I can help by sharing this understanding for folks to get aha, because it's not, whereas 20th century science was all about the very small and the very big, this is playing out on our everyday lives. This is showing that the same informational patterns that pervade the natural world pervade all our social structures, our social behaviors. We are connected at a very, very fundamental level. And so a lot of what I'm doing is what Tim and you might call subtle activism, in terms of understanding what are the principles of co-creative consciousness to help build coherence. And I've written about this, I wrote a little bit about it in the book, but I'm doing a lot of experiential work with many folks around the world. How do we build coherence so that really valuing our uniqueness and our diversity? It's rather like I describe, if information is other notes, then consciousness is the music, and we are the microcosmic co-creative musicians. So we can come together and play within this beautiful cosmic symphony of life and take things forward together. So this is really where I'm coming from. We heal our perspectives, we heal our worldview, we begin to heal our behaviors, but also we need to heal the traumas that are still in our collective psyche as a result of that extreme materialistic duality-based perspectives. Because we can't just go, oh, well, that was that, move on. I'm sure, Tim, in your work, you find this all the time. People are holding stuff. We're all, you know, carrying the luggage of where we've come from. And we need to be able to heal and release that alongside knowing the true nature of reality. And then we're at the school gates and hopefully hold hands and go forward together, because that's what I feel we have the opportunity to do now.
Yeah, I mean, can I just pop in on that, Richard, and just say, you know, I think that's exactly right, and lovely to hear, because talking about what's the nature of reality for most people sounds so far away from political action. But as someone who has a little obsession with what's the nature of reality, I really get that, because it feels to me like, you know, as we've often discussed, everything everyone does comes from what they think life is. So one of the things I really enjoy at the moment, because I'm getting to go and talk about emergent spirituality, this completely different worldview, and speak for some time to people, I can see them slowly getting it, is that the state which you leave in is so different, because you're suddenly part of this incredibly exciting evolutionary journey, which has been going on for 13.8 billion years and has arrived at you. And rather than being in this dead universe where you're here for a moment and then gone long enough to just kind of go, what the hell, and then you're finished, and the universe itself is kind of accidental and going nowhere. And the fact that, you know, even when people disagree with that, and I think most human beings actually don't agree with that, but knowing that the intellectual elite believe that the people who are creating the culture, huge numbers of them believe that, has an effect, because you kind of in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, they're smarter than me, they probably know better. And so what do you end up with? Well, you end up with this incredible state we're in right now, where everyone's petrified, thinking that it's all going terribly wrong. I mean, it was interesting you said, Richard, but the thought, I'll just tell you, because it came through my mind when you went, you know, certainly there's more conflict now than in my lifetime. And my thought was, oh, yes, because you're not very old. if I think back to the days of Thatcher believe me, or the IRA blowing up the government, pod bombs, and it's like, whoa, no, this is nothing. But, you know, this is just more of the same. But it's come back again. And the, you know, there was a lovely lady that's part of me feeling like, you know, is there an emergency? What is it? Because in some ways it's going well. But there is this overwhelming sense of, we need to move, we're stuck. And the idea that what could move us on needs to be as fundamental as reshaping what we think existence is.
Exactly.
And then from that can just emerge so much energy. I find that an incredibly inspiring and exciting form of policy.
Come back in there on that. What I meant by conflict is really division. Okay, so granted. I do just about remember Margaret and the minor strikes. But really, we have this this interesting parallel where Britain became divided amongst in and out on the Brexit thing, and And the US became divided along pro and anti-Trump, but it was a really strong divide. It's not like, well, you might not like Bill Clinton, but he's not the antichrist in the way that Trump is seen as being. And what with your answer, Jude, what I was curious is, okay, so there's sustainability goals and they need something else added in. But what I'm wondering is, can we start with that level of agreement that we're all behind this idea that sustainability goals are a good thing? Because I know a lot of people who don't like the UN's sustainability goals and think that they're going to cut into jobs and they're going to give too much power to governments to control energy resources, and a lot of cynicism about that. So when you have this kind of polarization that people, for very genuine reasons, they're not being belligerent, they just see from totally different perspectives on environmentalism, on whether it's Israel or Palestine, on all these kind of issues, whether Trump's a good guy or not. How do you speak to that kind of core division? Because we could all agree that the universe is consciousness. It doesn't mean that we hold the same economic or political opinions.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I'm not pro or against the Sustainable Development Goals. I think they're an incredible achievement, actually, of getting over a very, very long time and a lot of hard work some level of commonality of perspective. So I feel that they are an achievement. But I'm not judging any of that. What I'm basically saying, as what Tim and I are both saying, is that this is about when we heal our worldview, we begin to heal our behaviors. And that's what this is about. And what those behaviors are, you know as well as we do, that when you become more aware, your behaviors naturally change. That it just flows. You become more aware. And by being more aware, I think the general, for me, definition of being more aware is more realizing the interconnectedness and the ultimate oneness of everything. One of the things that I'm banging on about a lot at the moment is the me and the we, not the me to the we, because I think a lot of people are scared about, well, am I going to lose myself as we move towards the we, this homogenous, undifferentiated grey goo? And I'd love Tim's perspective and yours on this, but I'm saying no. What this understanding of the unified nature of reality does, when we begin to understand it and experience it and ultimately embody it, is that we become more me than we probably have ever been, and we're also more we. So coherence. It's about building coherence within
diversity.
I'm
just going to go and get something. It's going to take me 5 seconds.
Okay.
So you're right.
It's live, see? So this is an area which was lovely for me at the beautiful event that you organised and put on for us at the House of Lords, because I've spent the last 15 years, especially in non-duality groups, where everyone's going, it's all one, going, yes, isn't it? And all separate.
Yes!
And then they're going, no, it's just all one. So the very centre of my work around spirituality has been both and, not either or. So
exactly.
Before the last one, the subtitle, I don't know if you can see that on the screen, Deep Awake, Waking Up to Oneness and Celebrate Your Individuality.
Yes,
on the back of which, after Know Yourself, Show Yourself, says that the ego is the hero of the journey, not the enemy. So that the me and we, hearing people suddenly saying this me and we, was just like, oh, thank God at last. Yes.
Absolutely.
That it comes, you know, that it's going to come through this.
Yes.
The universe has been individuating. It's not a mistake. It's through
exactly
that this oneness is arising. So I was delighted to, you know, so anyway, yeah, I couldn't resonate with you more, Jude. I think, and the me and we was a lovely quick hand. I love all that. Beautiful way of capturing that essential insight. But the thing I'd like to come back with to Richard for your really deep question, which, as you said, we've been mulling over in different ways now for a while. And from what Jude has said, is it seems to me, I feel that if I'm meeting someone who has, for want of a better term, is awakened to or conscious of that fundamental ground of unity, or at least to some degree, and there's that essential compassion, that love, and they say to me, I think sustainable route is the development's the route, and there's somebody else there who's got the same sense of oneness, who goes, do you know, I'm not sure because I think it might have these problems. I'm listening to both.
Exactly.
My experience has been that often the people who are saying one side really don't have that awareness, and I'm thinking, you're not saying that for this reason. You're saying it because there's some economic advantage to you in this. And that's a different experience. So the more we can get people to the place where we have a commonality of intention, a kindness, yes, fundamental relationship, where we want what's best for the planet, disagreeing from that place becomes a really healthy thing to find the right solution and how we can balance out the role of government with the individual and all those other questions. When that's not there, then you're actually, what you've got is a different thing. Yeah. Then you've got a war between different states of consciousness or discussion. And then it's about what state are you in. And that's a different thing from a debate within a state of consciousness.
That is absolutely key. And just to go on from that, because Tim, I'd be really interested in the work you're doing in this, because coherence, it's building that level of coherence where you have a common level of awareness, and then you can, you know, express the diversity and co-create true resolutions going forward. I was on a call the other day with some friends, and we tuned into this concept of coherence. And the words that came through, I may not remember them fully, but I got, we cohere, H-E-R-E, and cohere, H-E-A-R, when we are fully present and fully receptive to each other as me and together as we.
Yeah. So we're cohering, we cohere and now.
Yeah, literally, cohere, cohere.
Can we get any more puns in? This is getting good. Cohere and now, I like it.
So yeah, but it is that, isn't it? And then it's lovely, because then you can get that. It's really the co-creative genius of the group, where everybody's, you know, gift and input and passion and awareness is brought in, but it's not through that fear-based, egoic-based perspective. And I'm good with you on the ego, the hero too.
The best thing about it is no one has to change their opinion on anything, right? We could all make the world a better place just by becoming more present and coherent in dialogue. And we don't have to change our opinions on anything, because that's what everyone really doesn't want to do. Right? Very attached to opinions. So you can keep your opinions, but just become more receptive to others. And maybe opinions will then change. Who knows? But
I think that's when they do change, when you yourself realise that the opinion you've held is not being helpful to you or whatever. But I find, in my experience, I don't try and change people's minds. Life's too short. You know, and I think Tim's probably feels the same. You share what you know, you share what you understand, and then it's an invitation. It's an invitation.
Okay. I think the time has flown by, and so I'm aware that we should probably make this like recording length, but I think maybe we should do something again sometime, because it does feel like there's a whole lot more to say and I have more questions on my mind. But I'll invite you to say anything else you would like to say, or perhaps I'll just also, to finish on a kind of positive note or a visionary note, I'll ask you both to express your hopes and visions if your work plays out over the coming decade, few decades, how the world can change in light of, let's say, Jude, what you're talking about, of this emergent new science and the implications that has for all sorts of different areas of humanity.
Tim, did you want to go first?
Okay, I will. What I would say is simply that for me, I'll return to the theme which I touched on earlier, because that'll be easy. It feels like if you get this vision of this evolutionary adventure which we are part of, and that the nature of soul of this other dimension is a reality, and that the soul is not mortal, that's not woo-woo, it's actual an intellectually robust reality, it changes your perception of what it is to live. The big thing which is missing, actually, you know, we have loads of problems, but things are going really well. Anyone who understands history knows how good it is right now, and yet we're so frightened. And we're frightened because we don't know where we're going. Where we are is the same. Is a great place with some big problems on the horizon. What we need is, where can we go? And the excitement, the ability to disagree in love, the going forward to find mutually beneficial solutions. It can transform our perception of what it is to live in society together. And that's my hope, that we can unleash this phenomenal creativity of that exists in our souls and enjoy sharing it together and making our world as good as it can be.
Ditto. Ditto. Exactly that. And really to say that, you know, we do have, we now know, it's not a hope, it's not a faith, it's not a trust. We have the evidence that allies with the experience through the ages of the truly unified nature of reality, and are empowered by it to realize that we are microcosmic co-creators. We have a place, we have a purpose, we have a meaning individually and together at this amazing moment of evolution. So my hope, but my sense is that as we heal our fragmented perspectives into this whole worldview, that we are empowered to come together with all our diversity, with all our different views, to come together and instead of falling into fear, collectively take a leap into love. And then, my goodness me, what then? Because I don't think we've even a fraction of a possibility of the amazingness of what this amazing step of conscious evolution can be for ourselves, for all, for our beloved Gaia, you know, literally for the whole world. But I'm here to find out.
What you said just that made me think of Pierre de Chardin, that lovely quote. I can't remember it exactly, but it's very famous. People should Google it. Where, you know, great evolutionary visionary and just saying that when human beings really discover the power of love, it'll be like discovering fire.
It's yes.
That
yes. Impact. Yes. I feel we're on the threshold of it. I really feel we're on the threshold now. It's happening. It's being birthed.
Literally, that's the most beautiful note we could have to end on, I feel. So thank you very much, Tim and Jude. And I'll put details of Jude's book below the video or audio, wherever you're getting this from. And I hope we can do something again sometime, because this has been, the time has just flown by, really. So I don't want to end. I just think it's good for, you know, for an interview length. And we'll pick it up again in the future. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Jude.
Thank you, Richard. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Richard. Thanks, everybody, for listening and watching.